Good morning. It's Monday, July 19th. I'm Catherine Lanfer, here this morning with Todd Zwillick. Last month, 32 U.S. Army soldiers committed suicide. That's the worst month on record for suicides within the Army. Let's try and put this into some context. 32 suicides in June, that's just about one death per day. 22 of these soldiers had seen combat. 10 of them had been deployed more than once. 4 of them had never deployed. Now, if we compare suicide rates in the Army to those in the civilian population, you might be surprised. The rates are comparable. Right now, the suicide rate in the U.S. Army is about 20 to 22 deaths per 100,000 people. When the civilian population is adjusted to match the demographics of the U.S. Army, the suicide rates, it's about 18 to 20 deaths per 100,000. Colonel Chris Philbrick is with us now. He is director of the Army Suicide Prevention Task Force. Colonel Philbrick, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Now, let's talk about why you think this happened. We know that the Army actually saw a 30% decline in suicides in the first 5 months of this year when compared with last year. And then 32 in 1 month. What happened?
Well, regrettably, I don't have a single answer to give any of the folks who asked that question. I can tell you it's indicative of the stress that the Army in particular has been under for the last 9 years.
Now, we also know that there are deaths that are still under investigation from last month. So what's the possibility that the number could actually be even higher for June?
Well, there's always that possibility. And I think the issue is the investigative process that the Army goes through on every one of these events, because we recognize this is a loss not only to the Army family, but to the friends and family members of that fallen soldier.
I want to talk to you for a minute about some things that we've been hearing from people in the Army. Our producer spoke with Chuck Luther. He's a former Army sergeant who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. He now helps soldiers with PTSD at Fort Hood, as you know, a population at greater risk of committing suicide. Let's go ahead and listen to Chuck Luther.
What are they doing to reduce the stigma around asking for help? Because I think probably that's the biggest thing is the stigma. Guys don't think they have anywhere else to turn, and unfortunately they make that bad decision that costs them their life. So what are they doing to reduce the stigma at the lower levels?
All right, Colonel.
Well, that's a great question. It's important to recognize that this is an issue that is not surprising in our culture. It's a cultural issue across the country as well. But back to the question, I think the video that we've just released last week addresses that particular issue, because in that video, you see soldiers, you see leaders at various levels who talk to that very question, who don't make any particular, any particular issues regarding the opportunity to seek help, raising the hand and saying, I need help. And then when they did come forward and do that, they found that they were very well received and were not stigmatized in that manner. And that's the message that we continue to send every day.
Well, Colonel, about 5 years ago, I remember covering a study, I think it came out of the Pentagon itself, saying that only one in five active duty soldiers returning from combat. Now, by the way, I should preface this. All of them are supposed to get PTSD evaluations, potentially suicide evaluations. Only one in five actually got them. The military snapped into action to improve that. Here we are 5 or 6 years later. Is the military following up on these kids when they come back from combat to make sure they're not a risk to themselves?
Absolutely. I can only talk to myself as a recent returnee from deployment, where that was one of the very first questions that was part of the reintegration process. The opportunity to have interaction with behavioral health specialists, the opportunities along the way to be part of that assessment process, and when we found that there were individuals who needed help, we got them the assistance as quickly as possible. Having said that, I will tell you that there are still some gaps in that process,
right.
And we're working very hard to ensure that each and every soldier, from the senior leader on down to the junior soldier, is given that same opportunity for assessment, and then where necessary, getting them the treatment and assistance that they need.
Well, it's also the quality of the interaction. I'm also thinking of the fact that this isn't the first video that you've released to the troops to talk about suicide and suicide prevention. Talk about that first one that you released. I believe you had kind of a colorful quotidian language to describe what it was like.
Well, it's important that we recognize that the Army continues to do self-assessment in every step of the process. And as I stated last week, and I think I'll bypass on the comments I made.
Oh, Colonel, come on. You said it sucked.
That's a quote, and that's true. But having said that, we've taken the after-action process and applied the lessons learned, the soldier feedback, and made a better video this iteration. And quite frankly, I'm proud of the work that we've done, but I also recognize it's but one step in the process.
Now, last night, Colonel, our producer spoke with Mary Gallagher. She's the surviving widow of Marine Gunnery Sergeant James Gallagher, who committed suicide in 2006. Now, we do know, of course, that he was in the Marines, not the Army. But her experience goes to something you said earlier, talking about the impact that this has on families. Well, let's go ahead and hear from Mary Gallagher.
Colonel, I was wondering if you have implemented yet a family advocate for each of your families, because I know personally that those who've lost a loved one to suicide are at a greater risk themselves.
Well, no question. My first response would be certainly to thank her for her sacrifice and her service to the nation. But that particular aspect is something we are putting in place. We're trying to put our arms around that situation and reach out to the various communities that we had not been as connected with before as we knew we needed to be.
All right. Colonel Philbrick, I want to thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Colonel Philbrick, Chris Philbrick. He's director of the Army Suicide Prevention Task Force. And, of course, if you want to find out more about this story, you can go to thetakeaway.org.
You know, Catherine, the Army has pointed out for a long time the stats that you mentioned, which is that their suicide statistics are just about the same as what they are in the general population. But it always has me wondering, you know, the general population is the general population. The Army's a controlled environment where they control a lot of what you do. And how you act, and you think they would be able to control this a little better, or so it seems.
Well, I'm not sure how much about suicide you can control. It's a powerful
story. It's a good
point.
Yeah. It's a very, very good point.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.